rockets coming as well into Israel. So that was difficult last week. It's been a very, very difficult time with rockets coming in all the time, particularly from Gaza Strip right the way up to Ashkelon, Tel Aviv, that sort of area. And they did come as far as Jerusalem. I think that was last Sunday. So it has been a difficult time. And of course, that's a difficult media time, because everybody jumps on the fact that Israel is attacking Gaza. And when people are killed, they don't sometimes realize that when they fire rockets from Gaza, they misfire. So a family was killed, and it was all blamed on Israel. But of course, it wasn't Israel. It was a misfired rocket, and it landed on the house of a family, and they were sadly, sadly killed. So it's trying to deal with the misinformation as well here in Israel. He's a very, very good positive story. I met a guy called Jonathan Feldstein, who was my neighbor, actually, because he's over on the other mountain. So past this mountain next to me is Ifrat. So I'm in Bethlehem in the Palestinian Authority, and then over the mountain is Ifrat, which is Israel. And I met him because he runs an organization called Genesis 123 Foundation, and they bring people from around the world to come and run in the Jerusalem Marathon, and they help people in doing that. So I did an interview with him, and I gave him a mug from our radio station with the Radio Hayah logo, and I told him that my friend made the mugs. So my friend is Palestinian. So he, as a Jewish man, has just placed an order for some of these mugs with a Palestinian. So these are sort of things that you don't hear on the news. So a Christian Palestinian is making these mugs for a Jewish man who's literally our neighbor. So there's some positive stuff from here. I visit Sabha every week, of course, still being able to go and visit Sabha twice a week, just sit with her, encourage her and bless her as well. We've just recently done some work in her house because her walls are really struggling with damp, particularly in the wintertime. So there's a lot of mold comes into the house. So that's not safe. And so we've been dealing with that and sorting that out. So we're hoping that we've actually managed to sort that out this year. Every year we have to sort of repaint her house, but we're hoping that we've managed to sort that out this year. Spend a wonderful time with the House of Hope kids on a swim. So the kids were in the pool and we were just playing with them and having some really, really good time with the kids from the House of Hope, the blind and mentally ill kids. And we've also raised some money to take them swimming again. So when they come back from their vacation, we hope to be taking them swimming again. Just done some really, really great interviews just recently. Jonathan Feldstein is one of them, about Run for Zion, asking about his organization. Also got his point of view on Biden coming to the Holy Land, what he thought, was there anything there? Was there anything real and significant? And tried to get a good balance as well. So we were interviewing Palestinians, asking Palestinians what they thought about Biden's trip. Was there anything there? Asking Israelis, what did you think about Biden's trip? And just seeing what people thought, and trying to keep it fairly balanced. We've also been doing some great interviews about Ukraine. Of course, Israel is helping out the people of Ukraine, and different Christian organizations are helping Jews get out of Ukraine and come to Israel and providing for them. So I did an interview with someone from Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, because they were helping the righteous amongst the nations. So these were families of righteous amongst the nations. So these were families who helped Holocaust survivors during the Second World War. And now today, Yad Vashem is helping them in their time of need. So just great stories just to be able to collect that. I did get a chance to hear the former Israeli ambassador to Ukraine, and now he's working in Moldova. He was in the country just this week. So I'm hoping to chase him and get a radio interview with him, because I think he has some wonderful stories and stories about how Israel is helping Ukrainians get here to the land and helping them out. So we're going to be busy over the next few weeks, because I've just been to a conference and I've collected loads and loads and loads of names. So we're going to be going out and I've got three interviews next week piled up already. So it's going to be very, very busy. And this week we've done three interviews as well. So we're just trying to catch all these interviews while we can. Elias is the young lad that we've been working with. He has finally graduated as an architect. So he has got a job now. So straight away he left college and he's got a job as an architect in Bejala. So continue to pray for him. He's been doing really, really well. He helps me so much. And I really feel that he's got a pastor's heart. He really has a pastor's heart. And I would love to see him getting involved in ministry. And he is getting involved in ministry. We're in a bit of a weird situation at the moment where the person who was running the youth group, he quit. So the pastor put the pastor's son in place. The pastor's son doesn't want to do the youth meeting, but he's sort of been put into the place. And he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't doing the meetings. And now he's gone to America and he won't be back till November. So nobody's leading the youth meeting. So I sort of write, okay, I'll do one thing. So I've been doing like a breakfast meeting or a barbecue meeting once a week. Then I'm asking Elias, will you do something? So you do more of the fun side. I'll do more of a spiritual side. So that's sort of what we've been doing. I have no idea whether we're doing this in the name of the church, whether we're doing it in the name of Radio IR, but we're doing the meetings and keeping it going and keeping it running. So that's been a real blessing to be able to do that. And so Elias has been helping me with that. And he also helps in other youth meetings as well. So pray for him. Pray that God would really touch his heart in a real special way, that he would get into the Word of God and really get to know the Word of God and begin to see this opportunity for ministry. And just to learn the ministry, because he really has the heart for that. So we're excited about what God is doing at the moment here in the Holy Land. I've got a message that I wrote today. In some ways, it's a sort of a message that you probably already know, but I want to use it as a reminder. But as well, it's sort of a message that's came from my heart of what I've been experiencing over the last few months, because I've had a few challenges that have happened, and people have came into the church and they don't believe like I believe. So that's been a challenge. And it's been a time where we've had a few debates, a few arguments. Some people have been upset and things like that. But it's all about foundations. So that's what I want to look at tonight, is about foundations. So Jesus spoke the parable of the wise and foolish builder. And I think we all know the story, that the wise man went out to build his house, and he built his house on the sand, on the rock, solid and strong. Then the foolish man wanted to build his house, and he built his house on the sand. And both the wise man and the foolish man, they went through a storm. And the storms of life came, and at the end of that storm, the wise man's house stood strong, but the foolish man's house collapsed. And Jesus is telling us to build our life on him. If we're wise, we will build our life on him. But it also tells us that foundations are very important. Our foundation is very, very important indeed. If your foundation is wrong, then your whole structure is wrong. And just recently, I've been watching a guy on YouTube called Andy Woods, and he does a fantastic Bible study on the book of Genesis. And he brings theological ideas that he disagrees with and all this. And some of these things, I have never even heard of these ideas before. And he pulls out so many wonderful things, and I found it absolutely amazing. And he is a Bible teacher, and he teaches in a Bible school, and he's a doctor. And I just found it really, really privileged to be able to watch him on YouTube. So I watch him, you know, not every night, but quite a few nights of the week. I will make sure that I have time to be able to watch some of his material. And it's a foundation for me. It's building, it's sort of rebuilding my foundation of the faith, and keeping your foundation of the faith built on the solid word. Now, the book of Genesis is the believer's foundation. It's the foundational book for life. So we really, really need to make sure that we have the book of Genesis right. Because if we don't have the book of Genesis right, it will cause so many problems further down the line in what we believe. So we have to make sure that our theology and our thinking is right when it comes to the book of Genesis. Now, we've had some young guys came into our youth meeting. One of them is from America. And we were in a meeting here at my house. And we were talking one day. And he started saying that he believed there was death before Adam. And I'm like, death before Adam? No, there's no way there was death before Adam. But he firmly believes that there was death before Adam. And then also as well, he says he believes that an animal can evolve into a human being. Now, this guy, he's a very, very nice guy. But he's obviously been to one of these liberal theology Bible colleges and picked up some of these liberal ideas. And he is a nice guy. He goes out and he prays for people, you know, and he wants to pray for people and to see people healed. He's a nice guy. But when you sit with him, you start to realize that a lot of the theology is wrong. You know, can there really be death before Adam? Well, the Bible talks about all these sort of things, you know. If you just sit with him, you'll find out what he really, really believes. He is liberal theology. So one day I sat down and talked with him. So do you believe that sex before marriage is okay? And he said, yes, but he wouldn't do it himself. So he's picked up this idea that sex before marriage is okay. And this is someone who's actually in the ministry. He's a guy. He's running a ministry here in the Holy Land. And he said he would conduct a same-sex marriage. So I'm like, wow. And it was funny because I knew this, but a lot of the people in our youth group didn't know what he believed. And we were talking about all of these things in our youth meeting. And then he came through the door and I thought, right, let's expose this. So I said to him, what do you believe? Knowing what he believed. And he explained what he believed. And the funny thing was, he was our guest speaker that night. And I said to Fadi, who was the leader, look, we can't have this guy speaking anymore because of what he believes, you know. If I speak in a youth meeting, people will give me a certain amount of respect. So then they will start coming to me and maybe sharing some of their problems. Well, if you believe that sex before marriage is okay, and I come to you with a problem, oh, I want to have sex before marriage, but is it wrong? He's going to give me the wrong counseling and give me the wrong idea. So I said, we can't have him in our youth meeting speaking these things anymore. And he has a problem with his foundation. He has a problem with the book of Genesis. His foundation is wrong. Was there death before Adam? Well, Romans 5 verse 17, for one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world. So we can see that Adam was the one that brought sin and death into the world. So he has a problem with his foundation, and it stems back to the book of Genesis. So how can there be death before Adam when the Bible is telling us that Adam was the one that brought death into the world through his disobedience? So we see that there is a problem there. Now, was Paul lying when he said these things? Can Paul be trusted in the Bible? Well, I'll give you some advice. Anyone called Paul can be trusted. I can guarantee you that, you know. But there is a problem with my friend's foundation. Can an animal over time evolve into a human being? Now, it's an interesting question. But if it's true and it can, then there's a problem. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's because we're all born in Adam that we have sinned. So if an animal evolves into a human, then obviously that's not going to be part of Adam. It's going to be out of Adam. So is that person that's evolved from an animal a sinner? Does he need salvation? And all these questions arise because of this stupid theology that he's taken on board. And of course it doesn't, you know. Of course an animal can't evolve into a human being over time. We know that God created, and we're all in Adam, so we're all sinners. And if you're out of Adam, then really you don't need Jesus as your savior because you're out of Adam, you're not a sinner. So this is where the whole theological problem comes about, which is very, very sad. So his foundation is wrong. And many people as well, and this is the guy that I'm talking about, also have a wrong theology about Israel. So he's very, very pro-Palestinian. And we've had different conversations with people over the years and over time. And I found that some people just don't believe the way that I believe. So when you look at Ezekiel 37, the Gog and Magog war, I believe that there is a time coming where nations like Russia and Libya and Iran, all these nations will come together and they will invade Israel. I don't know when it will happen, but God is going to do a miracle and rescue his people Israel. Now, if you don't believe in Israel, you cannot believe that scripture. Because if you believe that scripture, then Israel has to exist as a nation. And if you hate Israel, how can you say that Israel exists? Israel belongs to Palestine. Israel belongs to the Arabs. So it causes a theological problem here. And many, many people who are believing that Israel doesn't have a right to exist will start changing their theology and believe something completely different than we believe. And it's really, really sad to see that people, you know, Bethlehem Bible College, their theology is different because they don't believe that Israel should exist. It's a different theology. But we do know that there is going to be a time where Gog Magog war is going to happen and God is going to rescue his people. If you don't believe in Israel, you need to have a different theology. And I've been meeting this and coming across this. Me and Fadi, we were talking about, you know, Ezekiel 37, and he agrees with me. But then I was speaking to a Canadian guy who was in a meeting. No, that's already happened. Ezekiel 37 has already happened. That's happened in the past. Really? Well, of course you have to say that because you don't believe Israel has a right to exist. Another argument that I've heard, there are no Jews from the Bible today. So the Jews don't exist today. So the Jews of the Bible don't exist today. Really? That's a crazy thing today. If I take a Jew and I take his blood and do a DNA test on him, I will find out that there are Jews from the Bible. You will see that they came from the line of Abraham. It will be there. It's there in their blood. So you're wrong. And doesn't the Bible say in the book of Revelation, talking about the sealing of the 144,000, who are these people that are going to be sealed? It's not like the Jehovah's Witness say that there's a special people. It's the Jews, the Jewish people are going to be saved, sealed, because they're going to be saved. These are basically Jewish missionaries that are going to go out in the last days and preach. There's 12,000 from each tribe, and each tribe is 144 people. They're going to go out in the last days. And they're Jewish. But of course, you can't believe that if you don't believe the Jews exist today. Oh, but that's happened in the past. That's already happened. So you meet these strange and weird theologies because the book of Genesis is not their foundation. How can it happen that the Jews don't exist today? That's crazy. It's a crazy thing today. Your foundation is wrong. If your foundation is wrong, then your whole theology is wrong. I've been sitting with a Muslim friend of mine. He comes and he visits me, and we've been playing theology table tennis. So I will give him some, oh, this is what the Bible says. Oh, but this is what the Quran says. But this is what the Bible says. And we've been arguing backwards and forwards. And he told me just the other week that everybody is born a Muslim. So every single person in the world is born a Muslim. Jesus was a Muslim. Well, he didn't talk like a Muslim. And if you look at the things that Jesus said, he just did not talk like a Muslim. He said, God was his father. Now, of course, Muslims don't see God as a father, but Jesus called God his father. He said he would die in Jerusalem. Now, Muslims tell us that Jesus didn't die. It was Judas that was put in his place. His foundation is wrong. If a Muslim tells you that Muhammad was predicted in the Bible, because that's what they will tell you that Muhammad was predicted in the Bible. And they will take you to the verse and the scripture of John 14, verse 16 and 17. And I'll read it. And it says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the word cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, For he dwells in you and he will be in you. That's the verse that they quote. I will send you another. Another is Muhammad, because Muhammad came 500 years after Jesus. Now, is Jesus really talking about Muhammad? Well, this is what he says. And I will pray to the Father. So Jesus is calling God his Father. Would a Muslim allow that to be said? So that if a Muslim comes and tells you, say, well, why is he calling God his Father? And he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So this helper is going to abide with you forever. Did Muhammad abide with us forever? No, because he died. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him. So this is someone you can't see. Muhammad was a physical person. You could see him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you. So this person that's going to come is going to be in you. So is it really Muhammad? Of course it's not. We all know that this verse is talking about the Holy Spirit and how God was going to send the Holy Spirit that was going to lead us and guide us into all truth and all revelation. My friend's foundation is wrong. And today, many, many Muslims hate Israel, and they bring a curse upon themselves, because the Bible says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, we can all disagree with Israel sometimes. Sometimes Israel doesn't always do the right thing, and we can disagree. But when we hate the nation of Israel, we bring a curse upon ourselves. Muslims today, they believe that there is somebody called the Mahdi. He's going to come and he's going to throw the Jews out of Jerusalem, and they believe they will take the land. Now, I believe the Jews will stay in Jerusalem because of what I believe in the Bible. I believe the Jews will build their third temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And because that's my foundation, because I read the Word of God and I see what the Word of God, I see what the Bible says. And that is my foundation. So today, make sure that your foundation is right about God, and make sure your foundation is right about Israel. So we need to really, really study and know the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is so important, and it tells us so much about the nation of Israel. And you all know these scriptures, Genesis 12, get out of your country, from your kindred and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Genesis 13. For the land which you see, I gave to you and your descendants forever. That forever is important, because forever is a very long time. Genesis 15, verse 7. I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. It's an inheritance to the Jewish people. Genesis 15, verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I give you this land, from the great river Egypt to the great river Euphrates. So there's even a boundary. God is even showing you the boundary of where this special land is going to be. And Genesis 17, verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. It's in Genesis. It's an everlasting covenant. Yes, God would throw the Jews out because they disobeyed with him, but he never, ever took the land away from them. They weren't in the land, but the land still belongs to them. If I had a car, my car would be parked outside. I'm not in the car, but it still belongs to me. So even when the Jews were out of the land still belonged to the Jews, because it was an eternal covenant. And it's eternal. Now, I find it very interesting when you go and buy internet and you want to get some internet into your house. You can get unlimited downloads. But if you download too much, it's not unlimited. They tell you there's a fairness clause in there. So if you want to start downloading loads and loads of movies and TV shows, suddenly they'll come to you, sorry, you can't have any more internet because there's a fairness clause inside. But you've just told me it's unlimited. Yeah, but there's a fairness clause. But you just told me it's unlimited. That's not what God is talking about. God says it's an everlasting covenant. Ah, but we've thrown the Jews out and God's actually replaced them with the Christians. No. It's an everlasting covenant. You cannot argue an everlasting covenant. And it's in the book of Genesis. And we need to get our foundation right in the book of Genesis to get our whole theology correct from everything else. My covenant I will establish with Isaac, not Ishmael, but with Isaac. So we know even which family line that God was going to go down. Genesis 26:3, God promises Isaac. And then Genesis 35, verse 10 to 12, God promises Jacob's name and God changes rather Jacob's name and renews the promise of the land. So we see all the time in Genesis, God making a promise. Now, if he said it once, you could maybe think, well, he got it wrong. But he says it so many times in the book of Genesis, I will give you this land, I will give you this land, I will give you this land. It's an eternal covenant forever and ever and ever. God made an eternal covenant with Abraham and his descendants through Isaac, and he even showed the boundaries. We need to make sure we get our foundations right. If your foundation is wrong, then your whole theology is wrong. I find it interesting that the Church of England today can't define what a woman is. What do you mean? You're the people of God and you can't define a woman? How stupid is that? Even when Joe Biden wanted to put a woman in the Supreme Court, they asked her, what is a woman? And she said, I can't answer that because I'm not a biologist. How stupid can you get? Go to the book of Genesis. What does it say? He created the male and female. There's nothing else. There's only two genders, male and female. Is it okay for me to marry my same-sex partner? I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl. All of these questions can be answered in the book of Genesis. You know, Christianity is under attack today like never before. And it's quite crazy. Would you, you know, if we went to our grandparents and we started going to our grandparents and say, I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl and I can be whatever I want. They would go crazy. They never had anything like this in their day. But we've got all of this going on today in our generation, and we need to stand strong for biblical principles and biblical truth. And I guarantee you, you will be criticized, you will be mocked, and you will be ridiculed, especially if you say something on Facebook. You will be mocked and ridiculed because of it. But we need to stand for what we believe, and we need to stand for truth, because we're declaring truth, and we're declaring righteousness, and we're declaring the foundation of the Bible. Just recently, there was the Australian rugby team who wouldn't wear the gay pride t-shirt, and I was so proud of them. I was so happy of what they'd done, because they stood for their principles. They didn't say, let's hate gay people and let's kill gay people. They didn't say, let's persecute gay people. They just said, we don't agree with this because of our Christian faith, so we're not going to do it. But there was a huge uproar, and they were made to look stupid and crazy. But they stood for what they believed. And that's where we should be in this generation. We should be standing on the foundation of the book of Genesis. We will be ridiculed. We'll be persecuted for it. But we should still stand because it's what we believe. They just believed the book of Genesis. Sex between a man and a woman within marriage. That's what the Bible says, and it's clear. They could stand because their foundation was right. And today God promises eternal life. The covenant was written with the blood of Jesus. He has promised each and every one of us eternal life. But oh, does that really apply today? Do we really get eternal life? What if God's eternal covenant isn't eternal? If God can't keep his promises to the Jews, if God's promises to the Jews was eternal, but now he's thrown them away, and now he's taken over by the church, how can we know that our eternal salvation is eternal? So it gives us a theological problem. Of course it is eternal, because the Bible says it, and I believe God. I'm not going to argue with God. It's funny because many, many people say, Zionism is this and Zion is crazy. I find out that if I read the Bible, God was a Zionist, which is great. You know, God promised a savior who would crush Satan's head in the book of Genesis. And we see that in the book of Genesis. God always keeps his promises. And he sent that person who would crush the head. And it was Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. We need to make sure that we get our foundation right. It's very, very important, particularly in this day and age. And it's not just important that we get our foundation right, that we teach our children and our grandchildren the foundations of God. We need to stay in the foundation of God and get our theology right. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Steve.
Oh, man, thanks for sharing that.